In 2021, Talk About It Outdoors partnered with an industry-leading brand that has stamped its name on the outdoor industry. Cruiser Saddles, in itself, stands on perfection. And with every climb we make, we elevate ourselves above the rest. In addition to a support to our hunting journey, the men and women behind Cruiser believe in the same principles of life as us. Faith, family, and the blessings of being better as they go in every sit. If your desire to pursue your passions one step ahead of the rest, go ahead and get in the best. Check them out on all the socials or head over to their website at www.cruiser.com. That's CRUZR.com. And tell them to Talk About It Outdoors boys and Chasing Weekends sent you their way. The journey of life has a unique way of being able to create tried and true friendships as we go. In forming those relationships, oftentimes, good things come to follow. Talk About It Outdoors is proudly supported by Cal Hardy, the Barrelhead Land Company. Cal is the leading broker over Georgia and is happy to assist you with finding the place where you can call home. With vast knowledge and an understanding of the ever-evolving real estate market and a unique old-school approach to everything he does, he exemplifies what it means to treat others like you'd want to be treated. Don't settle for being just another number in a phone. Choose Cal Hardy for all your land, home, and commercial real estate needs and become a part of his family. We sure are blessed to have him as a part of ours. Find him on Facebook, Instagram, or give him a call at 770-296-2163. Step back to the times when a feed store was more than just that, and the people inside smiled with friendly faces and provided a place for a talk on life, as well as all your essential farm, livestock, and pet needs. Cherokee Feed and Seed, located in Ball Ground, Georgia, with an additional location in Gainesville, are the hometown supplier of all your cattle, equine, and pet needs, with the added addition of being able to keep your deer herd healthy with protein and minerals. They also carry an assortment of hunting blinds and gear, and you can rest easy knowing the people that support local ball clubs and children's sports are who your hard-earned money is going to. The people here greet you with a handshake and a smile, and Cherokee Feed and Seed give more than just a product. They give you a welcome that'll make you return time and time again. Stop in next time you're in the area and tell them you're part of the Talk About It Outdoors family. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. You ready, Nick?
Let's do it.
All right, everybody, Talk About It Outdoors coming to you live from the Cruiser Saddle Studio. Man, we are rolling right on in to the month of April. We've had an amazing turkey season thus far right here in Georgia and all over the Southeast. And we've got a special guest coming on tonight. He's one of the legs of the legendary Penhody team, and I think he's the strongest one. Y'all better pull up a chair and sit a while. They all going to get mad at us when they hear that about him being the strongest one. I'm sure that's going to be a notice for contention tonight.
Yeah, you said the legs. I would have used arms as a...
The arms?
Yeah.
Fingers? Is this an octopus?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Lyle. Well, Nick, old buddy, it's been an amazing turkey season. That's all I could say. I have experienced, I'll say that. I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. More victories than defeats for once, and I cannot wait to share out the newest video that came out this past weekend. Y'all see that one dropping out on Chasing Weekend. So
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm ready for deer season.
Oh, my goodness. Already ready for deer season. Is that where we're
at? I'm tired of talking about these turkeys.
Have we reversed roles already this early in the year?
Nah, we're gonna find some.
Well, Sauger's tagged out. Thank goodness. Thank the good Lord. We had a great hunt. I went on a hunt on Saturday just real quick. Wanted to shout out, Billy and his daughter Lexi asked me to go with them for whatever reason they wanted to go. And we had a great, great day of hunting. And from that hunt, you're going to see this video drop out in a few weeks because we got to close the door on that because it kind of ended in a way we didn't want it to. We had a lot of fun, but we had some... how can I say shortcomings when it might have came to shooting abilities by somebody? So I'm not going to say anything, Lexi, but we're going to finish that hunt out in a few weeks, and you'll get to see that over on Chasing Weekends as well. But Sauger's video from this past weekend where he actually called in his first turkey all on his own, and I honestly have the video, proof this time. Somebody, I had somebody say, well, Nick called that turkey in for Sauger last time, and I said, well, You can argue that if you want to, but this time there ain't no arguing because I never even picked up a call. He had that trumpet in his hand the whole time, and I sure was tickled.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad y'all getting out there getting it done, but you're ruining that boy, Alex.
I am. I said, son, you're getting it too easy right now.
I just hope he remembers back to the day that we walked out over there at that public land that I'm a member of, and I said, Sawyer, the other 9 days out of the 10 that you turkey hunt in like this, son.
Well, we went down to Florida, and he had a great hunt. Had a bad hunt and then a good hunt. And here, he had a really good hunt to close out his season. But he was upset he wasn't going to get to go anymore. And I said, Nick, be glad to take you hunting anytime you want to go. So,
oh, you still need to take that boy. He needs to see whoopings.
Well, I'm hoping I get a full-fledged whooping attack down there. I've got Vendetta to go back to the KT team. I talked to him last night and told him I was coming back down to hunt with him in them swamps. I'm going to go down there in a few weeks, spend some time with KT and Angie and whoever else might get Jason out on a hunt. We hadn't decided easy, and all of them are ready to go. But I'm going to North Carolina in a few weeks. And after this episode's dropped out, y'all are probably going to have to see something else, I hope anyway. Whether it's me or the guy I'm going with, I've got a great hunt planned up there. And so you've got a special hunt planned coming up this weekend.
No, not this weekend.
No, you're not going down to the Big T County?
Oh, that's Friday. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't.
Quit messing with that computer.
I don't know what's
focus on what's going on.
I didn't know where you was going with that, but no, I don't know what's going to come out of it.
Okay. Anyway, you get to go. Well, hey, we've drug this thing out long enough. I tell you what, the guy that's coming on tonight has probably got the fastest talking tongue in all of Penhody. He can talk more than I can. He's a likable soul, and he's a character all in itself. You probably want to pull you up a seat, get you a chair, fix you a cold drink, because tonight, the man they call Squirrel, Mr. Mark Heffron, I think he might be from Spokane, Washington, too, if I recall correctly.
I think so.
Squirrel, welcome to Talk About It Outdoors. We appreciate you being here.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for having me. That was a warm introduction. I don't know if you guys are telling the truth there. But thanks. I appreciate that.
You know, I'd never got the privilege of meeting you until this year when we were at Nashville. And I came down to the old bar that was downstairs, and I saw you in there, and we came in, sat down for a bit and had a meal, and I got over there, and you and I got to talking, Minion and Hunter. And I tell you what, I could see why Dave likes hanging out with you guys so much, but I got to know, how is it carrying those boys around the way that you do? Because you've got to have strong shoulders to carry them the way that you do.
Well, that's why I took up the gym, you know. Before I had this dad bod going on, and it was pretty hard carrying them fellas around a lot. So I took it another step, and I figured I'm going to go to the gym and start this protein diet and creatine and everything else that Dave says I like to do. It's just good work ethic, fellas. That's all it is. Be consistent, you know. Be consistent. I go there every day, eat well, and that's where we're at.
Well, you look pretty good for 31-year-old. I mean, you're doing pretty good for yourself. I mean, it's got to be easy for you to get back in the gym at such a young age as you are now.
Oh yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. If I could do something with this white hair,
that's stressful.
It might be a little better. You're not kidding. That and raising a girl, you know, being a dad. What do they call that? A dad girl or a girl dad?
No, dad girl. That's not what you want to be called anymore. It's girl dad for sure.
Yeah, it's that has its trying times. It's especially doing it all on your own.
Mark, now that was her first turkey this year too. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's been a long time coming. I've had the privilege of carrying that little kid around me since she was a baby, but she just she never really wanted to pull the trigger. I don't know if she was scared of the noise of the gun or whatnot. And anyway, she ventured out this year, and that was a heck of a day, actually.
Well, Mark, kind of give everybody a little backstory, because I'm not sure anyone's ever really got, outside of the folks that know you and have got to meet you personally and had the privilege of that. But why don't you tell everybody a little bit about where you're from, where you got your start, you know, into hunting, and we'll go into, you know, just a history of the man they call Squirrel.
Well, this is going to be really short. No, I was born originally in upstate New York. And when we say upstate, I'm talking like an hour outside of New York City. It was some country land there. I think I got into hunting like everyone else did. We were deer hunters. My dad, well, I wouldn't even call him a deer hunter. He was one of those gentlemen who would go out there. He'd find a deer trail and just camp out on it. So naturally, he would take us as kids. I've got two brothers. I'm the middle child. And my brothers never really liked to hunt, but I spent a lot of time out there. Every time he went, I'd go. And it was about in high school when there was a kid down the road from me. That's all they did was they lived off the land, and his family hunted to survive. So we started hanging out pretty much all the time. And he kind of took me under the wing and took me into the woods and started showing me, that's everything in the woods, how to read the sign. And we deer hunted pretty hard all the time. There wasn't many turkey hunters back then around there. I didn't know too many turkey hunters. Fast forward, I went from New York down to Florida for college. You can imagine that time. I didn't really turkey hunt in college, too. It wasn't until I moved back to New York. I think I was 26, and it was the early 2000s. One of my old buddies back in New York was turkey hunting for quite a few years, but he's never killed a turkey. So when I got back into New York and got settled down, you know, we got talking about it, and I wanted to try it. And I'll never forget the first hunt. We were out there on this ridge behind the house I grew up on. And the neighbor's dog, believe it or not, started barking. And the turkey gobbled. Well, we slid off the hill down to the bottom of the swamp. And I put a mouth call in. And you could imagine the screeching sounds that were coming out of that. But a few minutes later, here comes this turkey. Appeared right through by the barbed wire fence, a strutting, full strut, down through the swamp. I was able to put my hands on that turkey, and from then on, it's just been kind of, you know, bit by the fever, they should say, I guess.
Now, what year was that you really got your start?
I think it was 2000. If I do the math right, 2000 or 2001, I was 26. I don't know. I don't want to age myself here, but I got a late start, you know, compared to a lot of folks. I wish I would have turkey hunted a lot earlier, because back then in those early 2000s, the area we were living in New York was, man, there was some really good turkey hunting.
Now,
really good turkey.
Anyone that wants to know or see the kind of guy that you are, they could go and watch the recent drop on the Penhody Project where you and Dave had a little run-in with a fella on some land that he may or may not have permission to be there. And I will never forget that comment you said. He said, well, what did he ask you? Where did we park? He said, where'd you tell him? He said, I told him what none of his damn business where we parked at.
Oh,
that was
man.
Great.
I hadn't watched that one yet.
Well, you missed a good one already.
let me give the audience a little inside because we've got to get somebody else on the phone real quick. Everybody listening to this podcast right now, we're going to take 1 second for a break. We're going to add a guy to this call, and there's a little backstory. When we done the podcast with Sleazy, there was one thing that hit me driving down the road one day. I started calling him Mr. Hollywood because all the likes he was getting. And he was denying it. I said, I'm going to start calling you Mr. Hollywood instead of Sleazy. And it dawned on me. I never asked him how he got his nickname. And I said, what better of a time to get him on here? He can speak on he completed the 49 since the podcast. And we can get his nickname and how Squirrel got his nickname all at the same time. So y'all give us just 1 second.
On the ridge listening. Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Well, fellas,
I ain't heard shit all evening.
Oh, man. Sleazy, thanks for coming back. Did you know, and I don't know if Nick's told you, that you know, you've set quite the precedence for Squirrel to follow up here. You have, like, the third highest rated show that we've ever done. You might have passed Dave by now. I might have to go back and check the notes.
It's climbing each week.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I told you.
Hey, Sleazy, that's why they had to invite me. That's why they invited you on. They're going to boost their ratings after I crash this thing.
Well, we'll see what we can do about it.
Oh, me. Well, first and foremost, from everybody here, Nicholas, myself, and all the guys who talk about it outdoors, congratulations on completing your 49, Sleazy. We're very proud that we were right here at the cusp of that, and we got to talk to you right before it. So congratulations on that for sure.
Hey, man, I appreciate it. I'm glad that crap's over with.
What was the feeling like?
You ain't kidding.
What was the feeling like, Sleazy, when you pulled that trigger and knew it was over?
Oh, man, it felt just like all the other ones I ever killed, to be honest with you. Now, probably like, you know, 30 minutes later or something when I was sitting there, then it hit, you know, that I'd finished something like that. And it was more about, I don't know if it was the individual turkey that meant more or just the memories of all the other ones. And, you know, I don't know. It was, yeah, but as far as that turkey, it was just another turkey.
Well, somebody asked me the other day, and I don't know that I've seen it posted yet, but were you able to use one of your special shells on that one?
Oh, yeah. Every turkey I shoot is one of them shells.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, everyone I shoot.
All right, so
I got a quick question if I could ask you, Sleazy.
Oh, this is perfect.
Is
yes, this is what, perfect.
When are you going to go back to that state again?
Huh? Maybe in the afterlife sometime. I can tell you this: I may finish another 48 state slam, but there'll be no more of that place.
Do you want
a hell of a lot better? There's a hell of a lot better places to hunt turkeys than that place.
What state was it for anybody that may or may not have heard you or seen you posted that yet?
Nevada.
Did you have to happen to make a stop by the strip while you was in town?
No, I didn't make it over there.
Not the club.
No, not the club. No, yeah, the Las Vegas strip.
Yeah.
Now, I've been to that dump before, too. I hope I don't ever go back there.
Oh, it's pretty close to Spokane, so you shouldn't have that far of a drive from there.
Yeah, last time I was there, I went to Spokane. flew right on back home there.
All right, so I set the presents for everybody before we went back live here. I told you, Sleazy, when the episode dropped, that thing was climbing. You surpassed Chipper Jones. And you said, interesting, I believe was your word. And I said, hey, I'm going to call you Mr. Hollywood. And you said, no, I don't think so. And it dawned on me that I did not ask you how you got your nickname. So would you be so kind as to share how you got your nickname?
Well, you know, it was Dave. I forget. It might have been me, Dave, and Squirrel going years ago, and everybody sort of had a handle. Of course, I had a handle long before I ever met any of these guys, and I was always from playing ball back in the old days. People called me Easy, and Dave was like, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. Whatever. We was on a trip hunting for about a week, and I don't know. I killed this turkey or something, done something. And he said, Sleazy. And, man, it's been that way ever since. So it come from him.
I didn't.
I think we were in Nebraska, to tell you the truth. I think we were out in Nebraska on that round.
I'm pretty sure it was about in Nebraska way out there. I was doing some things that was kind of sleazy, I guess, and that's where it come from.
I love it.
How about you, Mark? How'd you get the? Did it happen on the same trip when you got the squirrel nickname?
No. But before we get into that, I just want to add a little more. Like on that trip, I don't think you were doing anything sleazy, but Dave, we all would go our separate ways every day, and Dave had a. I think I was, if I remember correctly, you always kicked Dave off first because he had the farthest to go, right? And every time I'd kick old Sleazy out and come back to pick him up, he had a turkey. So this lasted 2 days, and I just told him when he got back in the car, I said, I'm not picking you up anymore. I'm tired of pulling up here and seeing turkeys. We're going to have to figure something else out.
Yeah, I'd let them have the good spots, and I'd say, I'll just drop me out right here. Everywhere I got out, they always was a turkey a goblin.
Oh, man. So, anyway, how I got my nickname, I think my older brother gave it to me. And it's kind of fitting, you know, like a squirrel's always all over the place, 100 miles an hour. That's kind of me. Like, I don't know if it's ADHD and anxiety all come together. And meat, but it especially happens around hunting stuff. I might have to go back to my truck 100 times because I just forget stuff or I'm just all over the place. And that's just something he called me. And when I think Dave was one of the first times Dave and I got together in New York, my brother called me that and Dave just fell out laughing. Like he loved that.
Yeah.
So what is y'all's nickname for Dave? Y'all have got to have a nickname for him or something y'all like to call him.
Oof, we got a few. The King, Hollywood. What else can we call him?
Well, I can't say I'm on here.
I know.
Hey, Sleazy, I asked you yesterday on the phone, and I don't know if you feel like sharing it on here or not, but from the looks of that video this weekend when Lynn killed her turkey, I don't know if y'all got in a briar patch or if that turkey put a whooping on you, but you mind sharing that story?
Man, oh God, I'm lucky to be on this, having this call today because it was a rough weekend. I'm getting too dang old to do some of this stuff anymore. But, I actually fell out of a tree and how I scratched my face all up. I was trying to climb up a tree to put a trail camera out for some recon. And it wasn't turkey recon as much as it was human recon. I needed to know how many people was going in and out of this gate. Yeah. About the time I was getting done putting that trail camera up, I heard gravel pop, and I said, oh, I got to get out of this tree before these people see me up here putting this camera up. And I wasn't about, you know, maybe 10 foot high, but I went to take a step out, and there's a vine got a hold of my other leg, and that thing swung me like Tarzan, and the first thing it hit through them limbs was my face. So and then I fell on out, and then I had to crawl down through the briars to keep them people from seeing me. They didn't see me, but I got done. I said, damn, I turned my phone on, put it in reverse camera. Blood was pouring out of my face. I got a bruise from my knee to my ankle. My wife said, you got to slow it down. I said, but it almost slowed it down real quick today.
he's living up to his name. He's doing something sleazy.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, as far as the story about her, it's always a good tale with Lynn. I'm just telling you this right now. If you want to see how good a turkey hunter you are, just come on and take Lynn. all these little pros and people out here that's got it figured out, come on down here. I want you to come get you some of this, I can promise you.
Hey, Sweezy, when I looked at that picture, I said, man, he done made her walk again.
Oh, my God. Anyway, Lynn is grandfathered in to opening morning. I mean, that's just, she's going opening morning to kill a turkey, and I'm praying that she kills a turkey every opening morning. So I found her one Friday night. He was in a good spot. We went in there and, you know, I done a little bit of calling and painted him a pretty little picture, and he must have been a dumb one because he bought right into it. Little devil flew down right there and landed about 75 yards from us. I mean, there's a roadbed led from him to us as big as Interstate 85. I mean, it wasn't nothing but our opportunity. I said, just let him come on down. I said, I ain't going to tell you nothing else. I said, you just kill him. He just kept walking. I said, all right, he's inside 40. I said, you just shoot him whenever you feel like shooting. I said, if you want me to stop him, let me know. I mean, he was stopping plenty because he'd stop and go in the strut and waddle, whatever. I mean, he was Twitter-pated bad. And he walked on up there, and he come around one little tree, and as soon as he come around it, he seen the two idiots sitting there underneath that white oak. And I said, all right, I ain't going to say a whole lot, but you need to go ahead and kill him because he's giving us the eye, you know. And he's just standing there sort of looking, and I'm like, come on, come on, you know, it's good enough, you know. And he finally turned to walk back up the road, and I yelped at him, and he stopped and looked again. I said, hey, need to get, and it, that's when the R-rated stuff started happening, and of course the gun went off, the turkey sort of hit the ground, flopping around for a second. Then he took off down the ridge, and I noticed he didn't have no wheels, but his wings were still working pretty good. He went crashing off the ridge there. Of course, then, you know, I'm very calm hunting turkey. This happens.
You're very animated at this point, aren't you?
Oh, my God. Hats flying, guns flying. Anything. I was uprooting trees on the side of this hill. Anyway, after a few minutes, I managed to come back to reality. I said, all right, she said, she's ready to go home. I said, no. You got a few hours of looking in front of you, I said, because you've hit this turkey. Anyway, we go down the ridge, and I look off the ridge. I find a couple more feathers, and I just happen to glance off in this bottom. And it's sort of a growed up pasture of broom straw. And I see a damn coyote standing down there with his head down in that broom straw. And I immediately knowed what the deal was. And I just took off. And I was like, come on. I said, I know you gobbler's down here. And I stopped again and looked. Sure enough, I could see the gobbler underneath the coyote. And I was slipping. I said, I'm going to kill that coyote. I done took the gun from her. And, well, he caught me about, he's probably 80. And when he seen me, I was a little bit worried that the thing was going to jerk the turkey up and take off running with it. So I just took off in a sprint, gun shouldered. And I said, you pick that turkey up, man, I'm going to start blasting you. And, he didn't, he took off, and then his buddy come out of the ditch and he took off, and I jumped the fence and And I might add, I do have permission on both sides of that fence, but it wouldn't, I can tell you this, it wouldn't have mattered if I did or not. That turkey was on that other side I was going to get. And it was a horrible scene. And from the time she had shot till the time I got to the turkey, 5 to 6, 7 minutes max. It was unbelievable at what they had done to that poor turkey.
That's crazy.
And you know, I had to put him back together. I mean, it was a Frankenstein deal for her to take a picture, but we was able to salvage. They had ate one side of his breast completely gone, just like you'd filleted it. So we was able to salvage the other side, both legs and thighs, and you know. She's lucky. I told her, I said, man, I said, you're lucky you got a turkey. It ain't the way you wanted it to end. I said, if you'd killed him right back up there when he was about 25 yards in front of you, it'd have been a whole lot different. But, oh, man, it's a circus, me and her. And, you know, when I can get her one, I'm probably the happiest man in the world. But, boy, getting there, I'm usually not the happiest man in the world getting there.
Maybe we need to get Miss Lynn on to do some of the other side of the fence from time to time.
Hey, I can tell you this, you ever get her on here, you better have a long bunch of, I don't know how this recording equipment works, but you better, if it's like the VHS days, you better have a tape with a lot of space on it.
Oh, gonna be recording over our home movies, huh?
Yeah, she's already been busted. She's already got on to me about that, and I done with you this other day. She said, you was talking bad about me on there. I said, hey, I'm just telling it how it is, good or bad. I ain't holding nothing back.
Oh, my
goodness. Hey, you do something dumb, I'm going to let you know about it. I expect the same in return.
I bet the neighboring turkey hunters opening morning up there this past weekend got to hear a show.
They better not have been close enough to hear no show.
That's why he was in that tree hanging that camera.
You know what?
That,
I've never heard anybody doing that, but I guarantee you after some people listen to this, they'll be doing that.
Dad and Stanley done it up there in Kentucky.
I'll tell you what, if you'd done it on that piece of property that I went to Saturday morning at public ground, you'd have run out of, your batteries would have went dead before daylight. There's so many people there.
Yeah, I went and checked that thing. Day four or yesterday evening, I went in there. There's a turkey in there, and I went and checked on him yesterday evening. It'd been quite a few humans in there.
I bet. That's smart. Well, Sleazy, I appreciate you coming on here and telling us that. You got anything else you want to leave with the listeners before we?
Before you let him go, I want him to tell, because while he's got the man here, he can't tell no lies on him. I want him to tell us his favorite squirrel story that he has in his mind before we let Sleazy go.
That's easy.
Oh, come on, man.
Now this is an easy one, and it ties right in to the whole nickname deal that you boys you got with the that you called me to get a hold of. So when me and David met, and we'd hunted together a little bit, and of course then I'd met Squirrel through him, and I had some turkeys at the house. I can't remember what year it was, Squirrel. I think it was maybe 16.
Yeah, I think it was 16.
And I'd invited Squirrel to come hunting with me, and he showed up in the middle of the night. You know, he drove all night from Florida to get there. I forget he got there right at time to go hunting about it, and him and Tanner both was there hunting with me that first few days, and I'd put Tanner in an area, and Squirrel's hunting close to the same area, and they're both hunting public, and the Squirrel managed to mess around, about froze to death that morning, built him a campfire back in there. Anyway, once the campfire went out, he killed a turkey not long after daylight in there. Well, me and Lynn, of course it was opening day, me and Lynn, we was way back on the mountain hunting, and me and her had both killed, she had killed a monster gobbler that
day. Oh, God, remember that thing?
Jeez. Yeah, 26 and a half pounds. And but anyway, me and Lynn, we showed back up about lunchtime, and I seen Squirrel's car was down there, and I didn't see Squirrel nowhere, so I got out, went walking down through there, and I had him a camper set up. You know, I have a little old house, so I'd pulled him a camper in there to stay in, and I was like, where's this guy at? You know, I'd never met him before. And just that morning, we'd talked on the phone a little bit. And there's two big white pines there above that where I had that camper set up. I mean, big ones, limbs all the way up. And I looked up about 30 foot, and there he is standing up in them limbs with that gobbler hanging up there about 30 foot high. And I looked up there, I said, I know now why you got that nickname. And he had that gobbler. He said, well, it was shady. I just figured I'd hang it up here where nobody could see it. I said, oh, damn.
Yeah. In my defense, this was pre-Pinhoti. So back then, Sleazy lived on a pretty main road, you know? And
yeah, it was.
I know how we are. We don't want to broadcast turkeys or whatnot. I didn't know what I was getting myself into. When I pulled up, that tree was there, and I went up there, just hung them up. I don't know if it was 30 feet, so he's. I did hang the turkey up in the tree.
It was up there. Yeah. I was like, go ahead and get that thing down. We got to take some pictures of this sucker. Hey, there was some turkeys around there that year, boy.
Oh, man. And one of the funniest parts about that is Sleazy's got a stepson. Now, when I got back to the house, it was early, like he said. I just stumbled into a dumb one. And Houston ends up calling Sleazy and says, hey, Dad, your friend's here. He's sitting here early on the front porch he had that swing chair or something.
Yeah, well.
He says, you know how Sleazy talks awfully. He says, well, that only can mean one thing now. You tell him to do whatever he needs to do.
He done killed a turkey.
Oh, God.
Mark, that's been many moons ago now.
Mark, you got any stories on Sleazy so he can defend himself?
Oh, man. I try to get a good one. Not, you know, maybe going back to that Nebraska thing. Oh, yeah, that's a good one. We were in Nebraska, you know, I don't know, whatever this hunt was, and I slid out there and I found some turkeys. We found a pile of them. Yeah. We get set up in the morning. Now, Sleazy and I broke off a little bit. He was on, we were trying to corner the way these turkeys were coming, and in this particular area, remember that bank? It was straight down. It was a straight down bank.
Under them cedars.
Yeah, under the cedars, and I got set up, and these turkeys, we started working them. Well, they were trying to pull a slick move on them. They were trying to put a move on us coming around this knob, around the face of it. So I said, I'm going to slide down. There was two different birds. They were separated at the time. Well, I said, I'm going to slide down to the right. That one's heading to the right. I'll handle him. You deal with his buddy off to the left. He says, I got you. I got all set up, and about that time I hear, it sounded like someone falling off this mountain. I look back and it's Sleazy like on a bobsled flying down this embankment. And he rolls up right next to me and he says, the other boy is trying to meet up with his boy. The other one, we're going to have to take care of him. I said, pull on up right here. Well, those two big white jokers come around that corner about, it was probably under 20 yards at that point. Well, we just said, hey, boys, you ran into some trouble.
Yeah, we took care of that. But yeah, I was up above him, and I don't know if that one, he flew, because it was on each side of a ravine.
Yeah.
That one, he must have pitched a ravine at the last minute or something, and I seen him coming around, and I said, oh, man, they done got together. And I just turned around and went just like off a slide into a swimming pool, straight down into that where he was at. And of course, we managed to take care of business.
That's awesome, man. Sounds like y'all have had some pretty good times together.
That was probably one of the, that was a trip that we probably that was way back in the beginning. We spent a lot of time together on that trip. That's where we really got to kind of know each other and kick around. So, yeah, that was a fun trip.
Yeah, we ain't got to do it a whole lot in the past couple of years, and that's a fail on my part.
Yeah, I think it's, well, both got stuff going in different directions, you know. I think now that you got some time, we should meet up back in Nevada, maybe.
You can catch my ass on that.
Oh my goodness. Well, Sleazy,
we might meet up some more, but it ain't gonna be there.
Oh my goodness. You can call me anything you want, but don't call me that. That's what he said. Oh my goodness. Sleazy, we appreciate you taking the time to jump on with us and tell a few stories again. Like I said, that episode you did with us, it stuck out in a lot of people's mind in a very relatable way. There's been a lot of people that's commented on it and called Nick and I and the rest of the boys and said, that old fella right there has got it going on in his life. He's just like we are. And that's why people really enjoy watching you and why people enjoy seeing you out there is you can relate to folks just like we are. Yeah. We do. So we appreciate it, brother.
Well, I appreciate y'all having me back on. And I'm going to get off here because I got business to attend to. But all I can say is if you're going to be climbing up them trees, use your safety harness, even if it's 10 foot.
Don't get your leg hung in another vine and watch your top knot. Ain't that what they say? Watch your top knot.
Yeah, watch your top. Yeah, and I ain't got a whole lot to watch up there anymore. So.
Oh, my goodness.
Sleazy, we appreciate it, man. Good luck the rest of the season, and I'll be in touch.
All right, boys.
See you, man.
All right, man. I'll see y'all. Be good.
All right, bye.
Oh, my goodness. Squirrel,
are you still here?
Yeah, I'm here. He's a character, man. I'm telling you. He is the salt of the earth.
We love him over here, man.
Now, that kind of brings up an interesting conversation to have because we've got to talk to people from all over the country and spend time hunting, you know, in the Midwest and out West and in the Deep South with folks. When you first started coming down to the South, what's one of the things, because you came down here for college, what's the one of the first things you remember noticing different than being back home?
Well, I went to college down there, and I didn't really get into turkey hunting. I was traveling back at the time. Like, I got a late start, so when I ended up right from New York moving to South Florida, and hunting South Florida, I mean, it's one of my favorites, you know, besides hunting some of the hardwood stuff, but it was a different animal. I mean, it took me a lot to get used to because everything looks the same. A palmetto tree looks like a palmetto tree. So getting lost, and I'm talking wading water and doing things that will make a man out of you very fast. South Florida was interesting, honestly.
What about the people in general?
The people? I mean,
yeah, just the people in general. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily hunting. What was there a big difference? Because we've all, and the reason I ask is I want people to understand that where you're from in you know, New York, it's upstate New York. It ain't New York City. And these folks, there's some folks there that's countryer than we are down here.
Yeah. So, I mean, but even then, like, that's funny you say that because even in that area, the South people are a lot nicer. You know, I don't know why New York has that stigma. It's probably because of the city people. But, you know, everyone's 150 miles an hour, you know. And that was one thing I did notice is the people are a little more genuine, I think. Now, where I grew up, it's rural. I'm talking the closest store that you'd have to go get groceries to is a 35-minute drive. So, yeah, we were in a rural town. Everyone kind of knew everyone, you know, one of those deals.
You still get to travel back up there and do a lot of turkey hunting?
I do. I try to make it up there now. Zoe gets out of school. My mom still lives up there. My family still lives there. So it's a free babysitter, you know, if you will. Plus she gets to spend time with grandma, you know? So yeah, like I know last year, Dave and I met up in the Northeast up there. I try to head back when she gets out of school. Cause I mean, kicking around home and doing these states, when I started this slam stuff back with Dave, I mean, I was able to run 10, 11 states a year, you know, and then my priority shifted, you know, things went south and I had to assume full custody and responsibility of my kids. So traveling as much as I used to just wasn't an option, right? It's not that I don't want to do it, you know, so, but I'm starting to get back to a spot where she's getting older now. She just turned 11, you know, she's getting a little more responsibilities, but yeah, I head back there quite a bit. Especially the late season, because like I said, I don't have to pay for a babysitter per se around here. Every time I want to go hunting, I've got to drum up a sitter and You know, I'm not a millionaire. I don't make a whole ton of money like all these other younger kids might have daddy's money or whatnot. A babysitter gets pretty expensive.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, and the time spent, you know, away in those early days, you were chasing something that a lot of people in the country may or may not understand anymore. And what it's became now is kind of a fad thing to do. And it's not a fad thing to folks like you and Sleazy and the folks that are out there doing it for the right reasons. You're doing it because it's genuinely going to fill everything that you do with memories. Just like Sleazy just said, he didn't remember that last bird. He remembered all the ones before, and that's what meant a lot to him. And I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, like a great point. When I started this thing, I never put a deadline on it. You know, I just said, man, I'm going to finish it because that's the type of person I am. If I start something, I'll finish it. No matter if it's building a raised flower bed outside or traveling turkey hunting, you know, like if I start something, I'm going to finish it and see it through the end. It just, I didn't want to rush it. I started it like the way Dave started. He's the one that really got me into going out of state because my first few out of state trips, besides some of the little local stuff like Oklahoma, Texas, that type of stuff, but actually doing research and calling people and looking at, you know, I owe it all to Dave. He's the one that really got me to start traveling, and I started traveling with him. I was blessed, actually, in the early days. We traveled quite a bit together.
How many states do you have to go?
I've got 17 more states left.
Okay. Mainly, are they spread all out, or are they in one general area?
No, it's mainly the Midwest. I've got 3 states left out west, and I'm hitting Wyoming in 2 weeks here. So I've got Wyoming, Colorado, and Utah.
Okay.
And then everything else is right here in the right around this area here in the Midwest, kind of.
Okay.
I've got Rhode Island is the only Northeast state that I'll see in the beginning. What I want to do is finish in the Northeast because that's where I started turkey hunting.
There you go.
But the last few years, I came to realize, you know, with my situation, it was easier to drive up there with Zoe, stay with my family, let them watch her, and then I started just chipping away all the other states that I didn't have at the time, you know. So
yeah,
at this point now, I'm trying to exceed as much hunting time as I can, you know.
Yeah.
And where I finish. I don't want to end up like Sleazy and have to leave Nevada for my last state.
Have you already done it?
Yeah, I did Nevada. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
What
I've heard,
who was that said that Rhode Island's like one of the toughest states? Maybe it was Rob Keck talking about Rhode Island's one of the toughest ones. And I don't know what it was.
Yeah, it is. It's so small, and there's not much land, you know. And you know, people do whatever they want. I'm not here to criticize how you hunt or how you get around to do it. That's not my style. I keep to myself. I'm not even very active on social media much, honestly. But Rhode Island, I mean, at this point, everyone's pin chasing, and all those spots are where everyone's going, you know?
Right.
So I think that makes it tough, in my opinion. I don't, you know.
I guess most listeners, and myself included, would like to know how did you meet up with Dave and the Penhody guys?
I met Dave through a mutual friend. I was living in Florida, and Dave has been coming to Florida forever. Like he was in, like he tells everyone, you know, he started in college. And I remember when I moved down there, I was hunting this particular public piece, and it was a mutual friend that I knew that knew Dave. He talked about Dave all the time. And I remember driving by and seeing his lifted up Dodge, you know, by these spots, you know, like that first week, because I do a lot of scouting. That's been common. And all of a sudden I'd be driving by and seeing that truck. And I was always like, who is this little guy? You know, like, who is this thing out of state or here? And I remember the guy's name is Joe. If you watch that episode in 2018, the old man Joe is how he put Dave and I together. And he said, you got to talk to him. I said, yeah, Joe, one day I will, you know, we'll get together. And you know how turkey hunters are, you know, they don't need any more friends.
Right.
And I think it was after season one day, or he had posted, you know, he does that big write up on Old Gobbler. He used to, and he had posted a picture. I believe it was in a burn in Georgia when he had that turkey all fanned out and the thing was still smoldering. And, you know, being from up in the Northeast and even in South Florida, they didn't do much burning at that time. You know, that was kind of impressive to me. I said, man, you know, like Because back home, you think about a fire, people are like, they get freaked out about that type of burning the woods. They think the whole place will burn down, you know. So I remember messaging him, I think, you know, hey, that's a pretty cool picture, you know. And then we would trade messages back and forth. And then we started talking a little bit on the phone. And he was already traveling a bit. And we met up for New York. I said, well, I got some dirt up in New York, and I'm heading up there. You're more than welcome to come up and meet up with me. So that's how we ended up meeting. That was, 12, 13 years ago, I think, now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that was quite a bit ago before Penhody was even a thought.
See, Dave, he's always been on the camera and stuff, though, you know. And he's just got he's one of those guys who's got a knack for putting a story together, you know. You know, people can film stuff and do stuff. Some people can have it, some people don't. I'm not one of those people. But I think it was Homegrown Productions. If you can look it up on YouTube, if it's still out there, that's some of the real early days of Dave Owens. And they called him Cove, or he called himself Cove Hunter.
Yeah, I remember people saying that, but I didn't know it was called Homegrown.
Yeah, I think it's Homegrown Productions, I believe.
Okay, interesting.
Well, I know
early days stuff.
When he was writing, Sleazy told us about that. He was writing in the Turkey Hunting magazine as the Cove Hunter, and that's how Sleazy heard about him. So,
yeah, that's how he called himself, Cove. So he's still in my phone as Cove.
So you had been, I guess, you've been hunting Florida about the same amount of time as Dave had, and I guess shortly after that, you guys started hunting down there together, and you got introduced to Chubbs at that time.
Yeah, I met actually Chubbs out in Idaho. That's the first time I met that character. He traveled quite a bit with Tanner Burns. So Dave and I were going out west. We were doing a Western Swing. I think we were doing Idaho, Washington. What else did we do? Man, I'm having a senior moment. A few other states on that swing. And we were in Idaho. I think it was the first or second night. And those fellas were over in, they had a little cabin or something rented. And we ended up meeting up with them that one night to fry up a turkey. And that's the first time I met Tanner and Chubbs. And then that following year, I believe, or it was the year after, we decided to go get together all down there in the Cypress. So we've been kind of doing that. And then I think, you know, once that Penhody thing started, we just kind of, that's how we kick it off, you know, every year down there in South Florida. Because I don't live there anymore. I lived there for about 14, 15 years. And I moved out of there. Now I'm living elsewhere, but I still like to go back and hunt it because it's a unique place to hunt.
Yeah, and like I told you, man, before you guys went down there when we was trying to set this up, and I don't mean anything crossway about any of the other episodes, but man, those episodes down there with y'all three are some of the best episodes from the whole season. And you guys, you just tell that it's like a good camp, you know, it's a good atmosphere. You know, I'm sure there's people just dying to, there's probably people, I hate to say this, probably people in there looking for y'all. One probably want to meet y'all and hang out because it looks like such a good time, but it just looks like one of those camps that anybody that's a, you know, like us could get along with. And I think that's what's so good about it. And especially the jabs are the best part. You and Chubbs act like y'all known each other for 20 or 30 years. So
he's the king of one lines, and it's easy to make fun of him, but he's one of those people he gives but he can't take.
We know some of them guys. I think everybody's got those guys.
Oh yeah, for sure. Hey, and speaking about that, you know, people falling around and bumping in, yeah, we could take a story offline that happened to us this year. We won't talk about this on these waves, but we could talk to it one day, Nick.
Yeah,
get the fellas together. I'll tell you a little situation. But yeah, I don't know. That Florida stuff's fun. You know, the three of us, if it's not us three, it's going to be two. And if it's not two, it'll be one. You know, we kind of made a pact that, you know.
Yeah.
No, we're going to start it. And
I love it. I'm weird about watching the episodes because I like to finish a season before I start a new season. And it's been hard because I watch everything on Mossy Oak Go. So I've caught up on last year. So I'm watching this year's. And I think I just finished the one where, sorry for a deal breaker if anybody's listening to this and hasn't watched it, I made it to the one where Chubbs killed. So I don't know how many more is after that from Florida. But, man, the damn water and the mosquitoes. Those little clips that Dave were putting in with those mosquitoes around that table. Dude, I would have left and got in my truck and came home.
Yeah. Most people said you were sick. Yeah, the food was contaminated. Listen, that was probably the worst I've seen that place in 13 years. Typically, it I wouldn't say dries out, but there's been some dry years during the spring because that's not usually the wet season, you know?
Yeah.
But, man, what I'm telling you, when you're walking, and I mean, the water's going clean over your boots in a few spots. Like, it's hard to keep dry feet. And we don't normally wear boots, you know? Like, we usually typically hunt in tennis shoes or Crocs, you know, when it's that wet.
Right.
But we knew we were down there. Dave and I were down there almost 14 days, I think. You know, I took 2 weeks off like I did last year, and we were in for the long haul. So I was trying to preserve my feet the best I could. But yes, it was bad. The mosquitoes, we sleep in those hammocks with bug nets, and my God, you had to fire that thing up before you even got out there, and I don't even know if it mattered.
Y'all sleep
with home with stuff all over. Phew, man. I think I soaked my hammock with promethium before I even left. I mean, I'm talking soaked it.
Do y'all leave those thermocells lit or them candles lit at nighttime?
No, typically not. Once you get in your hammock, you got a bug net. As long as you treat the back of your hammock, because I made that mistake once. I was camping one night down there in South Florida, and I never sprayed my hammock.
That's a good
idea.
When
I woke up in the morning, in the morning, my back was...
You thought Chubb shot you in the back with TSS?
Yeah, I learned exactly what it looked like. That, no, it's just getting coming out of a methadone clinic.
Oh, I had him meth sores all over. He said he doesn't look like he got shot up.
It was brutal.
Well, I want to kind of go back a little bit here because it's always an interesting thought. What was your first job that you ever had? And I don't know why I've stopped asking that, but that was something. And I'm talking just job in general. What was it for you back in, what was it, 1934 when you got your first job? Is that what you said earlier?
Yeah, 1934 and a half.
Oh, and a half. That's what it was.
Yeah, 1934 and a half. Yeah, my first job was working on the farm. Where I grew up, the gentleman had a big chunk of dirt, 1,000-plus acres, with a big old lake. And I was kind of like the caretaker of that place. He had horses and all kinds of animals. So, we did everything from putting roads in to planting lawns. I mean, he had heavy equipment on it. I was like a farm boy.
Well, for anybody that would guess, there is farms in New York. I mean, there is stuff up there for people to do out in the country.
Huge dairy cattle up there, right, Squirrel? New York's like huge dairy cattle and stuff, correct?
Oh yeah. Well, the area I have, there was big dairy around there.
Yeah,
there was even some beef, like right up the road from where I was. It's still a pretty good beef farm, but yeah, it's huge. Everyone always thinks the city, you know, when they say New York, the city is the smallest piece of New York, you know.
Go
ahead.
Well, I've got one. What are you laughing about?
No, I was just enjoying talking about turkey hunting. Now we're asking him what he did for a living.
Well, no, I just
what's the best meal you ever eat when you have teeth?
Yeah. Well, oh, my God. Do you got a cooler? You got a cooler that you prefer over another? Yeah. No. I got to ask because there's been a lot of people that have seen the videos that I've dropped this year, and there's no secret in the world I can't play a mouth call. I've not played a mouth call. I can't do it. I've practiced and tried. And the call that I prefer to use is a trumpet. Nick, you know, started showing me one years ago and kind of got me into it, and then Carrie Terrell kind of taught me really how to run the basics of one, and I practice with it, and that's all I've used this year. But I've got a gentleman, or we do, a mutual acquaintance that we ran into, Mr. Kevin Dorsey, that said you might have come paid him a visit to pick a trumpet up at some point. And I was just curious to hear your thoughts on different types of calls and why you choose one over the other, and if it is the trumpet that you prefer the most.
Yeah, I just got into the trumpet game. I mean, but I am terrible at it. I practice like one day, I think I'm doing all right with it. And the next day I pick it up and I'm all over the place. I do think it has the edge, you know, it's a different sound and it's a unique sound. I like it. You know, I run mostly mouth calls. But no, I do have a trumpet and I've been practicing with it. I'm still terrible. But I'd like to kill one with it. I made a few gobble, if that counts.
Do you call when you go with Dave, or do you make him do all the calling?
He won't let anyone call. Dave will not let anyone call with him. There's strict rules about the calling.
Oh, I can tell you one thing. That old boy that y'all probably ran into me. I never knew I called turkeys in New York, but that video y'all dropped the other day sounded just like me calling turkeys with a mouth call.
Oh, that was a scene, man. I mean, that was just, you know, there was a blatant disregard for a trust, you know, for a posted sign. Those boys pulled up and, look, we're not going to get in. I think there were some comments on it about you guys are cutting on the gentleman calling. But, man, I mean, it was still dark. Like, owls were hooting. And this guy went to not even soft yelping. You know, it sounded like he had a fox trail on and was blowing things out of the tree.
Was you up there, Alex?
I believe I was. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It might have been me up there calling that.
Was you being sarcastic about Dave not letting you call?
No, yeah, no, he'll let you call. But typically, I mean, I can't call anywhere near like him. I guess it's not all about calling either, but I get on there. I think he just edits it out a lot. Yeah. He likes to hear himself yelp.
I won't ever forget. Oh, my goodness.
We got to edit that part out.
I do pick up on him.
No, we're leaving that in there. You said it. He's got to hear that.
I do pick up on him and Chubbs, especially when y'all are in the swamps. I hear him and Chubbs calling a lot.
Oh, that's funny. Well, I can tell you, and this was really before we got to know you guys like we do now. We had Hunter on, and that was back in, gosh, 130, 140, around there sometime. And I remember asking him, and old Hunter let me know real quick. He said, "They ain't nobody telling me that I can't call." He said, "Not Dave Owens, not nobody." He said, "I'm going to call if I want to call."
Yeah, absolutely. He won't tell you not to call. He just edits it out. That's the magic of the editing software. You know, you just cut that piece out. Your lips are moving. It looks like you're doing something.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I don't know if y'all – have you watched this year? Have you watched them in the swamps?
Oh, yeah. I started when they were walking down that road, and it was just getting a heck beat out of them everywhere they went.
That part the other day where Chubb said – or I think Dave said, "What would you do if an Asian lady came by on a bicycle right now for a foot massage?" Chubb said, "I ain't got no cash. If something bad would probably be happening."
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I'm sure there's more to that gets cut out in that editing along with your mouth calling, Squirrel. But
yeah, you know, there's some funny stuff. Like, we get on Dave about that, you know. Like, I guess he's got to uphold some of this stuff. And
oh, yeah, for
not
sure.
Not that it's all R-rated. But, man, there's some stuff in there that Chubbs and I are like, come on, just leave that in there.
Yeah.
Like, the people want to see it. You know, we got working on him. We're trying to get Dave to do, like, some kind of, like, maybe some shorts or something with some, you know, just make it known that there might be some R-rated content. And your kids might not want to listen to this, but play some of that funnier stuff in there.
Well, this season was really the first time y'all had done, like, a camp scene. And when y'all were in Florida, I mean, and that was the first time I'd seen it on y'all's show. And I'm telling you, man, that's something we've talked about even in our videos that we have to do more of. The more everybody wants to think that, and we were as guilty as anybody, you got to have the kill, you got to have this, you got to have that. I thought this is what we got to have. But with this turkey hunting stuff, there's a lot more that goes into it, the joke and the kidding around. And some of the best episodes that I've seen have been the ones where you've been able to see the joking around. I was telling Nick the other day, I feel like one of the best episodes that he's done all season was one that he dropped with his dad and all the turkey calls out there. And it was just those little moments that, you know, we're going to look back 10 years from now and watch these videos. And, yeah, we're going to remember the hunt, but it's those little things that happened during the hunt that I've got to do a better job of capturing. And I'm glad to hear you say that, because that's neat to know someone else is thinking along the same lines.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny. Like, even going back, like, it started, what, a month and a half ago, if that, a month ago. Just going back and watching all these episodes again, there's stuff that you don't even remember that took place that you're like, I mean, it's like, you know, it's a nice refresher. It's something that's captured. It's pretty cool. And I like the, you know, the camp talk too. You know, everyone was commenting on the bottle of Tito's. You know, Chubbs and I, you know, Dave's a little more, he'll drink a beer here and there, but we don't, not that we get wide open, but you're out there, you know, like if the turkeys are slow, what else you got to do?
Well, and that's you know, kind of what we've talked about is those camp scenes and those camp moments. It brings people back to a time they may have forgot about. You know, we all want to talk about the running around, the, you know, going and chasing this and going and doing that, blah, 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 whatever. But those camaraderie moments, man, one of these days we're not going to be here. Or, and, you know, I may not be here anymore, but a moment that we were able to share in camp together, just like you guys, y'all could look back and, man, I remember that, you know, from whenever it may be.
Yeah, absolutely. Debrief today, you know, run down what, obviously this year was real short. We couldn't debrief much because nothing was happening. But still, I think those are key moments, you know, key moments that we might be passing over. So we like that, I think. Peaked it off.
Well, I know y'all have enjoyed listening to that one, and this is definitely an episode we're going to have to come back for part two on. I know that you've enjoyed it, and we got to continue this one next week. So make sure you tune in next week where we come back with Squirrel again. There's plenty more stories to hear. We appreciate you being here. We hope you enjoyed that one. Come back and see us again when you can, and remember, smile as you go, but don't forget, mouth the memories. Building the foundation of your life starts at the base, and the stronger it is, the better. Talk About It Outdoors is proud of our strong partnership with United Concrete and Paving and the foundation of support they provide. Whether your new home being built needs concrete work or that driveway you're tired of beating all the bearings from your pickup needs a paving, Michael and his team can provide any residential or commercial project support you might need from the ground up. If you're tired of tripping over that unsettled patio slab or a future shop build needs a smooth start, United Concrete and Paving can get you going when you need it most. Give them a call at 404-831-3036 and make sure you tell them them TAI boys are where you heard it first. A few years back, when an overbearing and overgrown backyard became an eyesore, I looked for a solution to resolve. LRS Land Services created a stunning and complete transformation turnkey at an affordable price with their mulching services. Not limited to mulching, LRS can provide turnkey grading and clearing, maintenance, right-of-way clearing, and even development for any and all forestry needs. With an innovative outlook on what is best for your land and a completely different approach than others, LRS can transform your overgrown eyesore into a beautiful landscape of your dreams. Give them a call at 404-889-1105 or check their work out on Facebook at LRS Land Services. Logan and his team are ready to make your land brand new again. Are you in need of a decluttering barn or garage slap full of stuff you just don't need? Or is your construction site needing a dumpster? Give our buddy Tony at Georgia Junk and Dumpster Rental a call. With services ranging from junk removal to roll-offs, Georgia Junk is here to help with any and all removal needs. If it's time to get that parking spot back or the boat needs a place inside, Tony and his team can surely assist. Servicing Cherokee, Cobb, Bartow, and surrounding counties, give them a call at 404-406-3501 or check them out on Facebook at Georgia Junk. Clean up the yard in short order with Georgia Junk.